Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would but fail. And without him, I would be drifting, just like a ship without any sail. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, hear him today. Don't turn him away, Jesus. Without him, lost I am. Another key for it. Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Enter into these courts with praise. Let us say, want to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Want to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus. So we've entered into the gates with thanksgiving down in our heart. Entered into these courts with praise. And we see this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus. One more time together. So we've entered into the gates with thanksgiving down in our hearts. Entered into his courts with praise. And we say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus. Can you sing it one more time? So we've entered into God's gates with thanksgiving down in our heart. We've entered into his courts with praise. Say the is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. I am going to a
To a city where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty fades away. But I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. You know, I watch people. They're born into this world and they blossom out. Young girls, they blossom out, and they're supposed to be real pretty, you know, and men are supposed to be real handsome in their youth, and they all blossom out for reproduction and for God to replenish, multiply, and replenish the earth as to the admiration of one another and drawn to one another because of their human senses and passions. But they just bloom for a season, and then after a while, sure enough, all of a sudden, they begin to change and they begin to fade away. Went over to the hospital today to visit with a man. Can't think of his name. Lives out where David Paul lives, back out there. Mr. Yancey. Real wealthy man, but he's getting way up in age. And he was laying on the bed. We'd been praying for him, and he said he was feeling fine. I was going to let him home today. But he was telling me, he said, you know, Brother Pike, he said, this world doesn't hold anything for me, though he's got a lot of wealth. He said he just wanted to be with Jesus, and the only thing that mattered to him was a Christian life and having salvation. And he was always witnessing and testifying to people, which I understand that he really does do that. But I thought, you know, I told my wife, I said, well, you know, it makes you wonder, Betty, how much of his life he's given to God and how much of his substance he's shared with the Lord. And from the time that you're young, the Bible said, remember thy creed in the days of thy youth when the evil days draw not nigh. As to the reaping days or when you go to be rewarded and you're not getting the right thing and you'll look and say, I have no pleasure in those days or that I've sown, I don't want to reap. And, of course, in your younger days, that's your sowing days. And you're coming to your reaping days. It's very definite that you will. You labor in the natural, and you sow to the flesh, and you shall reap of the flesh natural things. Or the Bible said you shall reap of the flesh corruption. That is, things that would deteriorate or corrupt. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life or eternal life. But I thought, you know, they fade away. And in God's city, you won't fade away. That's everlasting life. The sentence of death is in man because of the fall. But in God's city, it won't be like that. Down here, I don't like night. Perhaps you like night. A lot of people, they like night because they like to sleep and they love to relax, you know. And the only thing I get out of night is a chance to pray. I enjoy the fact that I can get in solitude and pray. But I don't like night. I like daytime. And I like what the Bible says. In that city, there will be no night in that city. The Lamb will be the light of that city. It will outshine the brightness of the noonday. And there will be no night in that city because death will be conquered and over. So night being symbolic of death or sleep, as we say, then there won't be any sleep in that city. Won't be any darkness in that city. The gates will be opened by day, and there will be no night in that city. For the Lamb is the light thereof. For in that city, it's the great revelational light of understanding. That city is the city of understanding. And that great light, it shines. And the nations of the world walk in that light. So a lot could be said here if you could understand and speaking to you spiritually as to what's taking place and where you are and what opportunity you have. And that's why I say don't be evasive when you have opportunity for spiritual things. Appreciate everyone coming out tonight. Just like I said this morning, I felt a real good reverence this morning. I just didn't feel too much strength in different ones to really draw the things of God. They were reverent, respectful, and we got to say a few little things. And I thought maybe I might comment a little more on some of those things tonight if I find fertile field. I guess somebody put this up here for me to pray over. Just stretch your hands out in this direction. Let's pray. The Bible said, anointing them with oil to pray the prayer of faith, and if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them, as well as God giving them their healing. So let's pray and ask God to bless this oil. If he can make the ground holy wherein Moses stood, he can make this oil holy. And yet we know this is only a means of contact as to from us to them, that they might know somebody's praying. And yet it's more than that in the sense that it represents the Holy Spirit. And as to the Holy Spirit, it's just like when we eat the Lord's Supper. You eat his flesh and you drink his blood as an irreverence, because there's a spiritual thing that's taking place while you eat of those natural things. And every natural thing representing something spiritual, then we dedicate that moment, that eating and drinking, to Christ. So in the spirit, that's what we're doing. We're taking healing and life into our body. Let's pray over this. Father of heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to pray over the bottle of oils that come in and is pulsing out handkerchiefs. And by these, you did special miracles. Lord, we know that you are the miracle-working God of today. And Father, we know that you are the delivering God, the healing God. And Lord, though we ourselves go through all kind of crises, all kind of dark valleys as we walk, yet Lord, thou art the lamp unto our feet, a light under our pathway. And dear wonderful God, though it be many discouraging days, Lord, or dark, dark nights, but Heavenly Father, we know that you are with us. For as you have said in your word, he that sent me is with me, he hath not left me. And so then we know that you are with us, you've sent us, and as Joshua of old prayed, send us not up to battle, Heavenly Father, let your presence go before us. Tonight then we ask of thee to anoint us all. May the great, wonderful Spirit of God anoint us all, even as the angel that came down in his season, Father, anointed the pool of Bethesda. Lord, as to whoever stepped into that water first was healed. Anoint this all. I feel you doing it now. In the name of Jesus Christ, that mighty Holy Ghost and the mighty Son of God. I feel you breaking the yoke over the audience. For I feel the Holy Ghost fall as we speak and the people believe. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Well, whoever it belongs to. I'd like to take a few minutes to talk with you. Let's go way over to the book of Revelation. We refer to Revelation 10 and 7 as the angel saying in the days of the sounding of the last trump. But now we find wrote here in Revelation, the 11th chapter. Moving on over into the 11th chapter. And in the 15th verse, it says, and in the 15th verse, and the seventh angel sounded. 11, 15, and it says, and the seventh angel sounded. So, we have been talking about God being a spirit and talking about the sounding of the trumpets, talking a little bit about the seals. And when I come up here to preach to you, I'm so caught away in the magnificence of Christ and his wonderful spirit and his wonderful word, and it's so rich to me till I have a real difficult time just getting into a message as to try to talk to you about a certain thing, because it covers such a great field until it just seems like I only have, it's such little time to say anything till I hardly am able to get into any kind of message. But I still try to scrounge around, and whatever the Lord will work with me in, I try to share that with you. And it should be, by now we should be big boys and girls praying for the spirit of revelation and should be able to sit for hours with hunger, thirst, and desire to listen to the words of spirit and life, and knowing that this world is passing away. This life is going out fast. But anyway, people will always be people and they'll always be like children. So then the meat belongs to the strong. That is, nobody's going to get the meat. Except the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. That is to say, people who spend some time in prayer, some time in study, some time in meditation, some time in conversation as to their conversation being heavenly. People who spend their times on their appetites, thinking on their appetites and buying and selling, making money, businesses, and always tied up in their mind with carnality. That carnal mind is enmity with God, and it's never going to receive anything spiritual, for it's not subjected to spiritual things. It is subjected to vanity. The Bible says the creature was made subject to vanity. So it's subjected as to your human senses to vanity. It doesn't matter how much you learn religiously. You can study religiously. You can be whatever you want to in the religious field of activity. But you'll always be natural. You'll always be carnal. You'll always think natural. You'll always think carnal. And whatever you do, your whole thinking, your whole thought pattern will be a composition of carnality. And whatever you learn religiously, you'll apply it naturally to get the benefits of it naturally. And of course, that's so wrong. I was talking to my wife about a few of these things today. Well, when he said in the last trumpet sounded, we know that it's speaking of the last of the seven trumpets. That it was to sound, and then we know that there was a breach between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, which we have brought out, showing something there as to why that was. And though we've not been able to elaborate on it like we'd like to, yet we have brought out a number of things on it. And then we go right on over to where the angel sets one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. That is, we do before the sounding of the last trumpet, we catch this. And then we go right on over to show this as to what is happening in this spanning of time, as we would say. Or this great span of whatever this angel is doing, because it shows up in Revelation, the 12th chapter, as war in heaven and the casting out of Lucifer. So then we know that whole thing ties in together. And it goes right back to Calvary, because it's at Calvary where this great angel stood with one foot on the land and one on the sea, hands raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. So we know that it goes right back to Calvary, and that it is the great gap of the church ages that he's spanning. that from the 483 of Daniel's prophecy to the 7 years ending of Daniel's prophecy. And so the great angel is standing like this. He's got his hands out like this. That's from everlasting to everlasting. Or I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. And then he's got his feet in the earth as on the land and on the sea, showing that it is the preparation of the gospel that he's concerned about in the earth as being shod with the preparation of the gospel. The Bible speaks of Christ and his feet like fine brass burned in a furnace. And then we see him with his head raised toward heaven, the rainbow about his head, which means that he is so great and mighty he not only expands in this direction, but that he is expanding in this direction as well as this direction. And that is, his head reaches up to the throne, that he is the headship. Jesus Christ, the headship that has sat down in the throne where the seven candlesticks put this rainbow over his head as to those dimensional church age teachings of the church age messengers. So then we know that when the door is open as to the seven being taken from the 490, that there is a gap called the church ages. And we made the statement that Daniel did not see the church ages. He did see the 490 years that was determined upon his people, even the Jews. But he only saw 483 years to Calvary when he said Messiah would come, make an end of sin, and be cut off not for himself but for his people. And he did see the 7 years that was to be the tribulation period. But what he saw was something that was within a veil and it had to be sealed up. And though Daniel had fasted and asked God to make him know what would befall his people in the end time, in that it was time and they were ready to come out of Babylon, then the Lord showed it to him but said, Daniel, seal it up. It's for the end time. It's not now. When John saw the revelation, which was the same vision, the voice said, see that you seal it not, John, for the time is at hand. So then we know that they were talking about the same thing. And what Daniel saw in the winds wrestling over the waters, John saw the same thing. When these four winds were being held back before angels on the four corners of the earth, before they could wrestle over the waters or be given the release to wrestle over the waters. Waters meaning people, the doctrines of the earth. Well, we're living in the revelational time now. Everything is showing it. When it speaks in one place of being sealed, grieve not the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ within you, by which your spirit is sealed, unto the day of the redemption of your body. Grieve not the Holy Spirit that you're sealed with unto the day of redemption, which means that there is an ending of the church ages and a coming in as to the redemption of the body. And to coming in as to the Bible speaking of a restoration of all things, which will be the millennium at the end of the tribulation period. And you're sealed through the church ages with the Holy Spirit of God until the end of the church ages. And then the coming in of the millennium as to the restoration. So we're told to abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul, that we might not make any provisions for the lust of the flesh to fulfill the desire thereof, and that all of the world and all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life in the world, and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we realize in the days of the voice that the mystery of God is to be finished. When the seventh angel sounds, if you'll follow that from 11:15, read on through the Bible. It'll give you the account of the war in heaven. It'll give you the account of the great city Jerusalem coming down on the new earth. It'll give you the account where Babylon is overthrown. And it goes right on after he sounds to the finishing of the mysteries of God. Right on down it goes unto New Jerusalem comes and sits down on the new earth. And it is finally says, let him that is just be just still, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. So it finishes the mysteries of God. It unwinds right on out to the end. But still at the same time, there is a mystery of God that is given to the church. Whereas Jesus used the terms in preaching to them in parables, He said unto his disciples, it is not given unto them that are without to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So there's a mystery of godliness, a mystery of the kingdom. There's a mystery of iniquity. There's a mystery of faith. And the great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am made a steward of the mysteries. So we're speaking of the mystery of the kingdom. It is not given unto the people of the world to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But it is given unto them to know the gospel, that is to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all the world. That they should know the gospel of the kingdom as per se, as the gospel, but not as the revelated mysteries. That's given to Paul as to Christ, not Paul said, but it is Christ living. And that is given to Christ as to Paul, to go Christ in Paul to get a bride from among the Gentile people. And the way that he was to get this bride was to reveal this wonderful mystery of revelation. And the revealing of this mystery would be the understanding being manifested in your mortal genes. That is to say, the word was made flesh, which means the spirit actually become interwoven within. Understanding of mankind within the body of Jesus was manifested even as life, spirit and life, into his blood genetics. And the Bible said in this heavenly treasure, as to the knowledge of God, the life of God is to be made manifest in your mortal genes. So it is understanding coming into you and becoming interwoven with you. And that is the light. That is the word. It is spirit. And this is flesh being made spirit or life. When this understanding becomes interwoven with in your body as a light, like as to the Bible said, and they shall outshine the brightness of the noonday. So when you have this made manifest in your mortal genes, then that is the transfiguration. Right now it is the translation within your spirit and gradually moving down through the church ages as a transformation of your mind to the ultimatum of the transfiguration, which is the change or the adoption of the body when the Jews come in. So at the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. And we find that this mystery of the kingdom is made known to us. How is it made known to us? The Bible said the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God is here and has been preached. So if it's here, then we know by grace. That grace has allowed for the kingdom of God to be in the earth. It is that the blood covering has took away all the sins of all mankind. And God is looking at them through eyes of grace. So that puts the kingdom of God in the earth. And the door to that kingdom has been opened, in that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Or that is when he said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. He said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus said in his words, thou hast opened the door. For you have rent the veil. And you've separated, you've differentiated between the body and the spirit, or Christ and the Lord. So in that you've seen it, you have opened the door. Here's the key. You've got the key. Like the Bible said, they took away the key to knowledge. And as I said so many times, I'd like to elaborate on that, but we don't get a chance to. So many multiplied things. But the door was open, and immediately he went to Calvary, rent the veil in two, and there was the kingdom. The kingdom come. What was the kingdom? It was Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the fullness of God, and God is the fullness of all things. All things emanate from God. So then Christ and God is to be one. And that means that Christ is the kingdom. And when your spirit is translated into the spirit of Christ by faith, then that means that you have entered into the kingdom. And if Christ goes into you, receiving the Holy Spirit of Christ, then you have the kingdom of God on the inside, and you are inside of the kingdom. So it is a spiritual world. It is a spiritual thing. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, because it is our spirit. See, the Bible says that we are gods. How can we be gods? He said, ye are gods. If they to whom the word of the Lord come hath been called gods, how much more are ye gods, he could have said. Ye are gods. Ye shall die like men from lack of understanding. You've never transformated your mind as to develop it to the place to where you understand. Lots of knowledge. Lots of know as to wisdom and knowledge. But with wisdom and knowledge, Solomon said, get understanding. Not very much understanding. So, How then can you be a God? You are a God because you are equal with angels. Angels cannot die. In heaven, ye are as the angels. And the Bible said God makes his angels ministering spirits. So that means you are a spiritual being in God's world. And God is looking at you inwardly as what's called the inward man. Though the inward man is renewed day by day, the outer man sometimes is neglected and it perishes from lack of nourishment as to the proper care as it would be of the world. So then we know that we are children of God. We, as spiritual beings, our spirit has been translated into the spirit of Christ. And so now Christ and our spirit is one spirit. And then our body don't count because it's been crucified at Calvary. And it's folded up and laid away. And all of the misdemeanors of life, all the stumblings, all of these things that overtake us as that which I do that I would not do. It is no more I to do with it. But it is sin that dwelleth within me. For within my flesh there's no good thing. God condemned it. Wretched man that I am, he nailed it to Calvary, that if I stumble, if I stagger, when my spiritual man is trying to do its best, my spiritual man is already sealed under the day of the change, the redemption of the faulty body, and it is already sealed to this extent that it is light and darkness cannot get near it, or that is to say, the spiritual inner man by the seal of Christ keeps itself and the evil one never touches it. So it is perfect, it is sanctified, it is translated into the kingdom, it is passed from death unto life, it cannot pass from life back to death. So we know that it is perfect. And the faulty one on the outside, in whom we are trying to make manifest this heavenly treasure as to the mind of Christ, turn it into spirit and life to make it manifest in the mortal genes. This faulty one, this house that's to be dissolved, going through the change, going through the transformation, this body, oh wretched man, the beast part. See, we are making manifest this heavenly treasure day by day from glory to glory, change to change. As to the transformation of the mind during the time of the development, that it might be made manifest proportionally by measure in this outward body. So then we know that of a certainty that we're getting the benefits of healing, health, strength, stability, endurance, whatever it might be, we're coming into the knowledge of Almighty God. And this is being made manifest proportionally into our body, for the Bible said, wisdom maketh the man's face to shine, the shining of that understanding of that great light turned into spirit and life. So we know that this spiritual being, God is a spirit, to worship him with our spirit, to receive in spirit, to understand in spirit, to dwell in the spirit world. Our angelic being has now been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And now we are like the butterfly. We've gone through the metamorphosis and now we're dwelling in heaven. That is to say, our spirit dwells in the spirit and has been translated into the spirit. So then it is one with the spirit. He's above us, in us, and through us. And because of that, the spirit is heaven. And our spirit is in heaven, and it dwells in heaven with the angels. And now we can see angels, we can communicate with angels, we can talk with angels. Angels will come and minister to us like it did Jesus and strengthen us. A lot of times you're strengthened by angels and you don't realize it. You don't know that you've been strengthened by angels. But you're going through a dilemma, through a depression. And it looks like there's no way to make it. And the Holy Spirit comes over you and angels minister to you. And then you receive that spiritual strength as an energizing. You get that extra inspiration and you feel like you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. So we know then that we are gods because we are spirit. We are no more the living soul. We have passed from death unto life. Because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And the sentence of death was in our body. So we died to that. And now we have a new body sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, which someday will be made known. People will see that. Because that's what we'll be. Everyone that hath this hope in believing that they'll be like him at his appearing, they will be like him. So then that means that we will be changed. This faith will transfigure us just like it did Enoch when Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So we are angelic beings, we are dwelling in heaven, and we are gods because angels are gods. They cannot die. We are now equal to angels. That's why that Satan said to Adam and Eve, said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. But God does know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt become as gods, and your eyes shall be open to know good and evil. And it was true. They did become as gods because Lucifer is an angel. And he is a god. And demon spirits as fallen angels entered into those bodies. And Lucifer into those bodies, which made them bodies as gods. But that doesn't mean that they are a god. As to a God that is eternal, as to the Christ that enters into us, that gives us eternal life. But as gods, that is reflectors. Ye shall become as gods. And even God made the statement. Now they become as one of us. But folks, let me tell you, when you are born again, you become a god. You are a son of God. That means that you are a god. And that means that you are eternal because you are now a spiritual being, as the last man Adam was made a quickening spirit, which means that he was made an angelic being and he went away as they saw him ascend into the heavens. So we realize then that, as I said earlier today, that though you are in heaven right now, you're only in heaven as to reflect heaven. And Satan is in that heaven by living in human beings. And he reflects this great light that makes this world heaven. I wish we had enough time to go into the three heavens and bring those to light to where you could understand them in a dimensional projection as first power and second power and third power, to where you could grasp what I say when I speak of the second heaven. In the book of Revelation, when John looked and saw this woman in travail, the child ready to be born, this woman was in heaven. And when he saw the dragon ready to devour this child, this dragon was in heaven. This child was in heaven. The woman was in heaven. All of it was a heavenly scene. So when he saw these things, it was in heaven. How could it be in heaven? See, we've come back into an earthly perspective when we get into the tribulation period of the 7 years where this was seen in the revelation of John. So, St. John the Divine. So we know then that there's something that we're not understanding. If it was in heaven, who was the woman? We know in this particular instance the woman was the Jew. But nevertheless, it pointed to the church. And the Bible said that she was illuminated with the sun. The sun was her garment of illumination. Whereas the Bible said, when it speaks of us as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said the sun shines within our strength. So we know it was the grace of God upon Israel and the light that was being reflected that made it the second heaven. And because of that, as to a nation being born in one day, then we see the woman in this kind of condition, in travail, ready to bring forth her child. And then when her child appears with the nail prints in his hands, then she travails. She goes to crying and she goes to weeping and saying, where did you get the nail prints? And he says, in the house of my friends. You remember when Judas came, he said, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And so then, right in the midst of the week, there comes the Son. He's being born, and up to the Mount of Zion he goes. The Lamb appearing on the Mount Zion, and his membership of body, 144,000, even a nation, goes up to be there with him to show a king that will sit on the throne through the millennium as to reign in righteousness, and the Jews being the head of the nation. So then we know that we already are sons of God, and we already have been translated into the Spirit and into the marvelous kingdom of God. And that we already, right at this very time, have all of the benefits, in that the Bible said we are children of God, then are we partakers of the benefit. And they all are available to us right now. And here's something we need to remember. God, having already given us all things that pertain unto life, and this heavenly treasure is through faith of the mind that's to be the one to reveal it to us, even the mind of Christ. And so then we are already children of God. We already have all things that pertain unto life. All that God can give, he has already given us in Christ. If I ask him for something, There is not anything that you or I can ask for but what we already don't have in Christ Jesus. There's not one thing that God has reserved to himself that you have to go and ask him for him to give it to you. He gave you the very best, which was Christ Jesus, his son. The best that heaven could afford. And Paul said, seeing that he give us the very best, will he not with Christ Jesus freely give us all things, in that all of the rest is less than Christ Jesus? So he has given us all things, and we now have all things, because we now are the sons of God. But the thing is, our body has never yet been changed. Though it's been redeemed at Calvary and the price has been paid, it's the purchased possession. But it's never been changed as to the adoption. And God has let us conceive of this Christ, the babe that's on the inside of you, Christ, the hope of that glory, because he alone being made heir to the glory. So we are waiting through the patience of the transformation of the mind, coming from the old mind of Egyptian, garlic and onions, by the way of the wilderness, of this interweaved and interwoven thing of good and bad, the old tree of knowledge, passing on over into the land of Canaan, of the new harvest, where there is life abundantly. Even the mind of Christ. So we understand then that we are in a transformation or development on the inside, moving toward the transfiguration or the opening of the Libyus, that in that the child might be born. Whereas this starts at Calvary, when the church ages open, the Libyus is open, and the headship is born, which is Christ, and he is immediately caught up to the throne of God. So he shows the headship of it, and then down through the church ages, while the seven is from the 483, still showing the Libyus of heaven being open, then that means that the child is being born. As to the spiritual birth, he is being born. And we see all down through the church ages the activity of the spiritual one, which is hid from the eyes of the world. And it is receiving, it is taking the spirit of revelation, and it is receiving the great knowledge as to the understanding of God. And this child being born, we see memberships coming in and being born. And the final, the great finale of that is when the tribulation period comes in. As to the closing of the Libyus, it indicates that the matrix being closed, that the child now has been born, because away we go like that, being as Christ Jesus when he appears, the head appearing in the heavens, and so the membership automatically fastens itself to the head. And then the Jews coming in show the body. The body shows the birth, because as the Jews going out at Calvary, the reconciling the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? When they come back in after going through the Holocaust and these kind of things, as to the purging, even as Jesus went down to the heart of the earth, appeared in a new form, so they come back. They accept the Christ that they rejected at Calvary. In the middle of the week, they accept Jesus. That becomes the headstone, and the seven is to Jesus. The capstone now comes back to the 483, capstones it, puts it all together as the 490 determined upon Daniel's people, the Jews. And with that, then all that Moses has done has been capstone, because he told them that he was the head, he was the cornerstone, and they rejected it, and therefore their hope was deferred, where Solomon said, deferred hope sickeneth the heart, and had to come way on around over here till the day they accepted him, which was after the Gentiles' days, giving the days of the Gentile a chance. Here they rejected the head. And in that day, the severing of the head from the body, the old guillotine, that was capital punishment. And so when the head was severed from the body, as to the Jews having received their head, they rejected it, and the body died and went out into darkness, just like when they cut John's head off. And then when they come way back over here to the resurrection, what will the receiving of Jews be but the resurrection? Then when they receive the head, then the body is restored completely, and the body comes up. When the body comes up, it is evident that the woman is going through her travail then, to show that the body now is born, and in that the child of God is now born, that it moves on over to the middle of the week, and then after that, darkness for the Gentiles. So we know that this is a great day. We've been caught up into heaven. This is the second heaven. What is the second heaven? The second heaven is the days of grace, What brought the second heaven into existence? The blood of Jesus on the seat of atonement, giving grace to all the world that this light, which creates a second heaven, even a reflection of God in your natural being, even in Satan being that reflector on the inside of you, reflecting that thing of God through knowledge, as to the tree of knowledge. He's the tree of knowledge. And on the inside of you, he reflects that light because the blood is on the seat of atonement from the foundation of the world, as I brought out this morning, even to allow for Adam's seed until the chain. Then that means that Satan can live in the body. God can live in a body, not the same body, can live in a body. They can be intermingled. See, and as Jesus said with the sinners and the publicans, you go in and out among them, and yet you have no fellowship with the temples of Belial. Jesus reproved them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And Christ Jesus was constantly reproving them when he was sitting with them. That means that as long as you're in your natural body, there's going to be a second heaven. And that second heaven is the reflection of the blood on the seat of atonement. Fire or light coming from that fire. Blood likened unto fire. God, the consuming fire, projecting himself through that. So that's a second dimensional projection, and we don't have time to go into those things. But I'm just saying that that light is grace. It takes away the sins of the world in the eyes of Almighty God. That is, the darkness is eradicated. And everybody has a chance to come to God, to call on God, to receive God, or to feel the presence and the love and the wooing of God, to know that he is good. But in a little while, the blood will come off of the seat of atonement. When it does, the Jews will find that ark, because grace will go to them and the days of the Gentiles will be over. And when that blood comes off of the seat of atonement, then that means you won't have to reflect grace anymore, because at that time you will be changed as to this day star of this light, this mind of Christ, completing its course, the transformation to a diplomacy. You'll be changed, transfigured, and as the light, you'll go into the light. As to one in the light, Christ alone dwelling that light. That light will withdraw as to the church. It'll be gone. And then the world will have no light except through that of the discovery of that little ark of the covenant. Through the Jews making them the head of the nation. Pulling all attention to them. Getting ready for that millennium thing of bringing the nations before them for judgment. So we know then that that light that we now are in, this mercy, this grace, this blood on the seat of atonement, we know this is the second heaven. So everybody is in that. But it's only a reflection. And we are not made to be reflectors. Right now, we're in the condition where we've never been changed. But the price has already been paid for the change. And as quick as the Jews come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that quick, we're going to be changed. And this inward light is going to be made manifest in our mortal genes. We're going away and leave the world in darkness, because once the blood comes off the seat of atonement, there won't be any second heaven. The light will go out. Satan will be cast out of heaven. Revelation 12, he'll be cast out of heaven in the fulfillment of what Jesus did at Calvary when he separated the light from the darkness, or when he cried out as that form of the servant, which is the body, and he cried out and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the sunlight went out. And everything become dark as sackcloth of hair. And Lucifer, that was the prince of darkness that had entered into Adam, got that light through Adam's grace by the blood on the seat of atonement until the church will have time to come out from among them in the world. See, all of a sudden Jesus is in war with that body and that spirit that's within that body. And Christ is fighting from the spiritual man against the outer man. No good thing within that body, sin, Satan. And then when he casts him out, then God has rejected the servant's body, the figure as to the servant's body in which Christ was. Because he's already perfected the bodies of the church on the Mount of Transfiguration. Steps down the expulsion. There he is as that human being again, the old beast body. And he's hung up as the serpent. As the serpent in the wilderness, he's hung up. Then when the battle comes, as to the dove, as to the raven, when the battle comes, the light withdraws. Christ won out. Christ is withdrawing from the body now. And when it withdraws, the body cries out, why hast thou forsaken me? To show the fall of Lucifer. Or to show that power, Lucifer, the reflector, That power, that ruler of darkness has now gone back into darkness. He was in light all the way down through Adam's generation until he got to Calvary. But it's not made manifest because all of a sudden there's the rending of the veil. It's the 483 and the 7. And the church age has come through, so the whole thing's light has to grace over everybody at that time. For God to allow Satan to enter in to this light as being in the body, into this light till the church age is over. And that's why we see the woman in heaven. And that's why we see her travailing with child, the church heavy with child, reflecting this great light as to the sunlight, just like the moon reflects it, and she's standing on the moon, the stars over her head. So then we know that because of this, then Satan is protected as to the fulfillment of what happened with this great angel, one foot on the land and sea, as to this war in heaven, as to the expulsion. He is protected until the end of the church ages. And then when the 7 years, bringing it back to an earthly perspective, comes in, then that Jesus did in the earthly perspective of the ending of the 483 will be connected with the 7, and then it'll be made manifest. It'll be shown just like it is in the book of Revelation. That's the Revelation 12 and the things there that's to be shown the Jews that we see there as symbols. We're actually experiencing the thing in reality. And just as quick as that happened, there's no more grace. There is no more grace because the Jews see the blood prints. They accept the New Testament, the blood, not of bulls and goats. Elijah and Moses go away like that as to the end of the blood, the goats, of the bulls, of the Old Testament, of the law, of the prophets. See, and with that New Testament, the Jews come in to the change of the body, a new life in a new body, a new bloodstream, and there they are alive forevermore. So then that means there are the members also of the body of the Lord Jesus. This means that the second heaven will end. It will end, and the Gentiles will go into total darkness as to having any religious light, because the Jews won't use that little ark anymore after the middle of the week. So it means that from that time on, they'll gather together the armies of the world to come against the Lord Jesus and against Jerusalem. And in doing that, they will be brought to the valley of blood and the blood of the horse's bridle. Whereas we've explained some of these things in little segments, or a little bit here and there as to what's happening in Germany, what will happen to China and these kind of things as to all this coming together. You haven't been able to fit all of it together yet, and we haven't had time to put it all together as to oneness, but it is in bits and parts on the tapes. I wish we could just put it all together for you, know, but it takes so much time for that. But anyway, I said all that to say this, that it is a true fact that the second heaven will be done away with, and when the light withdraws as to the blood coming off the seat of atonement, then that blood will go directly to the Jews. And when it withdraws, then there'll be no more light as to reflection, which you won't need it. You'll change immediately and you'll become that light because you already are that light in your spirit. But the Gentiles won't have any light. All of it will be dark. Satan, living in the human body, will only take those bodies into a prison of darkness, an eternal prison of darkness, and they won't have any light anymore, because they don't have any light within them. Therefore, prove whether or not Christ is in you as that light of that day star, lest ye be reprobates. For when that light withdraws, won't be anymore. It's just going to shine until them Jews can come in. So this means that we're right down at the end of the way, and the second heaven is ready to pass away. So with the withdrawing of this light, Satan is automatically out in the darkness, which is the expulsion. The woman, she goes into the wilderness, a place prepared for her, because she doesn't lose the light of his presence. And then the child goes up to the throne, because the child goes to the third heaven. And right now, that's what you're doing. You're being caught up to the third heaven right now, this mind of Christ, this revelation. See you going up, just like that, to the third heaven. Being caught up, just like this. The gospel into all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. So you're being translated in the kingdom, the law and the prophets and old John. Since that time the kingdom has been preached, men press their way into this kingdom. So just hurrying along so fast tonight to try to say a few little things to you before the sparks go out. We know then that the kingdom of God is at hand. We know that it's here. And this is what brought the second heaven. It's through the kingdom of God coming into the earth. And this light is the same. Ye are the light of the world. As long as you're here, it's going to be a second heaven. So we understand then that you'll be going out as to go away from here. And with that, the light will be going out. As to the earth, there won't be any light in it. It'll all be darkness. Let's stand together. Satan's expulsion, the casting out of the red dragon, the old blood life. Have you checked up lately? Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith of Christ Jesus. Which faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God? Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to go out to meet him? And the Bible says, at the midnight cry, there came forth one, like as I say, when the bride is waiting for a husband according to Jewish traditions, and one goes out to forerun and cries out, behold, the bridegroom is here, over the middle of the night, about 12 o'clock or whenever it might be. And the little lady that's got her lamp burning, waiting for her companion to be to come, already they are, as to the marriage vows, is drinking of the wine. See, we've already sipped on his wine. He's already offered the cup of that wine. And we've already sipped on it, even the new wine that they were accused of being drunk off on the day of Pentecost. And we have already sipped that wine, so we've already accepted him. We've made our vows to him. And this means that we are joined to him. And Paul said, I seek to present you to Christ. A bride is one espoused to her husband, that without spot, wrinkle, blemish, as a chaste virgin, body, soul, and spirit. We wish this, even the perfecting of your faith and the preservation of your body, soul, and spirit. So then we know that the ending is here. The night is getting darker. And you can see it by the intellectual fad of the government, the things that's going on. I'm glad that Sam Nunn is standing up for what he's standing up for, because that has to do with Georgia. That makes me feel pretty good. But anyway, it's like one of Clinton's leaders, I believe it was, made a remark concerning this man and saying that he is a bigot, I believe they call him. What do they call it? A bigot. And that, of course, that is kind of like Wallace was when he stood against the black man, which he done wrong. But anyway, they're saying because this man is standing against the sodomites, gays and lesbians, that he is that kind of thing. So it makes it look bad for him. But those leaders are lying. That's not what it is at all. As to a bigot, is it? That's not what it is at all. It would have fit real good as to saying that Mr. Wallace got out of line, because God made the black man black and he made the white man white. And so then to be prejudiced toward color or to hinder anybody from their human rights as to the level of human rights would be evil and wretched, because that is the act of God, is to make one color and another. But to take sodomites, lesbians, and gays, which is possession of demons and devils that God did not make, he did not make them like that, but being perverted and filled with devils and demons, and to say that that is being secular, or that is being prejudiced, or that is a discrimination. People don't have good sense that make statements like that. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. All I've anchored my soul in God's favor.
doth rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come into my heart, oh, come into my heart, just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her water. Went away to sing. Came back bringing others to this water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to town, went away to sing, came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. You love the Lord. Let's try this little chorus, right? Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tries to tempt me, turn me around. Tried everything that's got a name, worldly wealth, worldly fame. If I could, well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, I started out to traveling for Jesus many years ago. Had a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches and woe. When I would stumble, then I would humble down, saying, thank you, Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Sing that with me. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tries to turn me around. Offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want and worldly fame. If I could, well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Sing it one more time. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Got to make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tried to turn me around. Offered everything that's got a name. The wealth I want and worldly fame. If I could, well, I would take nothing for my journey now. Let's sing a little chorus together. The altars are open. We'll overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday. Up in my heart, I can't believe. Then we'll overcome someday. Sing that with me now. Walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold. We will walk on the streets of gold someday. Wrapped in my heart, I can believe I'll walk on the streets of gold. See my Savior's face. See my Savior's face. Gonna see my Savior's face someday. For if in my heart I can believe, I'll see my Savior's face someday. Sing it with me. For we will overcome. Oh, we will overcome. We will overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then we'll overcome. One more time together. Shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand. Gonna shake my Savior's hand someday. Wrapped in my heart, I can believe I'll see my Savior's. Sing it with me now. For we'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. With in my heart I can believe, then we'll overcome someday. Well, I think I'll praise the Lord. Think I'll praise the Lord. Think I'll praise the Lord today. For deep in my heart, I do believe, and I've overcome by Calvary. So we've overcome, we've overcome, we've overcome by Calvary, and deep in my heart, I do believe, for I have overcome by Calvary. So we'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll, don't get discouraged now. You'll overcome. For if I, then now, someday. Let's lift our hands, close our eyes together. We will praise Him. We will praise the for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people. Oh, His blood has overcome every stain. Once again, so I, I'm going to ask Brother Ron Passon to come up with this message. I will praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory. Peace. for the blood that washed away every stone.
Well, we had a wedding today. I guess Renee got married today. And, of course, I certainly hope that they'll spend their time in church, come to church, loving the Lord, because that's where the secret of success in marriage is, and, of course, success in everything else. It's within Christ. If you take God into your life, your marriage will last. If you don't, it won't last. Always remember, when you're not a Christian and your companion is not a Christian, that you're taken into captivity at the will of the devil, which means your mind is overpowered by fallen angels, or Lucifer can just walk in, tell you to do anything and cause you to do it and wreck your home, whether it's on the man's side or the woman's side. So you're going to have Christ to make you one and to keep you straight. Once again, as our brother comes, so I will praise the Lord.